the speaker should speak the Dharma free of the 8 worldly concerns, free of showing off knowledge, free of showing off any tantric powers, free of showing any pretense or guile or arrogance. The Dharma teacher should speak in a way that is 100% focused on the benefit of the audience and that they can receive something positive. And the Dharma teacher should be teaching with a sense of not wishing to get any returns, material, physical, or psychological. But the Dharma teacher, him or herself, must teach with a motivation to benefit the listener, to plant the seeds of Buddhahood in their minds so that people can be liberated or free from their ego, free from suffering and taking endless rebirths. And the Dharma teacher should be very humble, and the Dharma teacher should be able to point out his own mistakes, and the Dharma teacher should be without any type of arrogance. The Dharma teacher must represent the Dharma well. The Dharma teacher must reflect the Dharma well. If that is the case, then the Dharma center will grow, then the Dharma students will gain attainments, and the Dharma environment will expand. If the Dharma teacher's motivation is simply to talk from dry knowledge, if the Dharma teacher's motivation is simply to speak to show off, or to speak to get a feel-good energy, or to speak or do things just to look good, then the Dharma center, the Dharma environment, the Dharma student, Dharma people will never grow. It will stay very stagnant, and it will stay very closed. Why is that? Because the blessings of the lineage cannot be transmitted. Cannot be transmitted. So therefore, the teacher's motivation should be free of the 8 worldly dharmas with good motivation and with a sincere care and with a sincere affection and this very sincere sense of responsibility for the students. And when a Dharma teacher exhibits that responsibility, care, and affection, then the blessings of the lineage, which means the Dharma teacher's guru, his guru, his guru, his guru, all the way back to Tsongkhapa, all the way back to Buddha Shakyamuni, will extend down. So the Dharma teacher must have a very good motivation, and the reflection of the motivation of the Dharma teacher will be reflected in the growth of the center, the growth of the students, and the growth of whatever work he's doing. That's very, very important. From the side of the students, we should respect our Dharma teacher at all times. We should show physical respect, mental respect. We should show verbal respect. Whenever we talk about our teacher to other people, we should never address our teacher by his name. During Lama Tsongkhapa's time, there was one nun who lived down the hill from Ganden in a retreat place. And when spiritual seekers were looking for Lama Tsongkhapa, they walked up the hill and they asked the nun, "Where does Lama Tsongkhapa live?" So before she can answer, she ran to her house, she rinsed out her mouth, she lit some incense, she held some flower, and then she said, "My Lord, His Venerable Presence, the Lord Tsongkhapa is residing up," and then you make a left. So even the word in which she pronounced her Lama's name was said with purified air, incense, beautiful flowers, and a lot of respect. So we don't have to go to that extreme, because if that's the case, you guys have to walk around with a water bottle, permanent flowers, and it's not going to be convenient to spit in the gompa, right? Oh, where's Rinpoche? Well, Rinpoche is coming in 15 minutes. But that is just an example of the reverence. So if we have such a respect for our teacher, if we have such a devotion to our teacher, then attainments will come. The real reason for having devotion to our teacher, the real reason is to develop humility. When we develop humility and the humility is developed, knowledge goes in. When knowledge goes in, practice arises. When practice arises, attainments come forth. When you gain attainments, you gain control over your whole life, your future lives. So therefore, we should never say negative things about our teacher behind or in front or infer. Most important is to keep the samaya between our teacher and us very clean. If we always say, "I'm a bad student, I broke my promise, I'm a bad student, I broke my promise," it's very silly. Let me tell you why. Because you may have broken your promise of samaya today. You may have broken it last week, but you don't need to break it tomorrow. People here have a wrong conception, and let me explain, and listen very clearly. When you receive samaya or vows, the vows are not broken, and once broken, not useful anymore. That's not correct. if you've broken your commitment or vows today, you can repair it for tomorrow, and you can start anew tomorrow. If you break it tomorrow, you can start again. Some people around here think, oh, I've broken my commitment, Samaya. Let me stay away. Let me go away. Let me find a time when I'm ready. But that's wrong view. Why? People who wait till they're ready will never be ready. Do you know why? People who wait for when they're ready will never be ready because they create the causes not to be ready by not creating the causes to do it now. If you do the work now, if you do the practice now, you create the causes to be even more and more and more and more ready. If you go away now, if you don't do the practice now, if you say wait for a good time later, the good time later never arises. Why doesn't the good time arise? Cause resembles effect. So if you plant an apple tree and you hope that oranges will grow, illogical. So therefore, if we say, I'm not ready for Dharma now, I'm not ready to do Dharma now, I'm not ready to do it now, actually it's wrong view. Why? Buddha never said, Tsongkhapa never said, you do Dharma when you're ready. Tsongkhapa says, if you're in samsara, you are ready. If you're subject to birth, death, old age, and sickness, you are ready. If you fall within the parameters of the Four Noble Truths, you are ready. So when are you ready for Dharma? If you're in samsara, if you fall within the Four Noble Truths, if you are subject to birth, death, old age, and decay, then you are more than ready for the Dharma. So therefore, those who escape or run or make justifications, I'll do Dharma later, I'll do it when I'm ready, I'm not ready now, I can't do it now, on two counts they're wrong. One, they contradict the Buddha's teachings, which is they are ready now. Second is, oh, I broke my samaya already, so let me stay away. Let me move away, let me go away. Actually, people use that as an excuse to have fun. People use that as an excuse to go into their merriment because they want to say that to look good in front of people. But the sad thing is, by wanting to look good, you're already not practicing Dharma. By justifying, by covering, by saying nice words so people don't lose respect for you, you already are not practicing Dharma. You already are not doing Dharma. And if you break your samaya today, you don't need to break your samaya tomorrow. You don't need to break your samaya the next day. So my teacher used to tell me, if you miss your sadhana today, I asked him, I missed my sadhana a long time ago. Should I stop now? He says, no, you missed it today. You don't have to miss it tomorrow. I said, oh yeah. I said, that makes a lot of sense. Example, if you miss lunch today, you don't have to miss lunch for the rest of your life. Although some of us, me and a few other people in the crowd, should miss lunch for the rest of our lives. So by that same logic, K.H. Ung is smiling. By that same logic, if you missed your samaya today, you do it tomorrow. Then you do it tomorrow, you missed it tomorrow, you do it next day. And then you don't use a game. Oh, I'll do it next day, and next day, next day. Why? Repair of samaya doesn't come from talking nice or your friends believing you. It comes from inside when you know you're doing the right thing. Okay? Friends believing you are useless. At the time of death, they can't help you, whether they believe you or not. So it's absolutely useless. So therefore, we need to be truthful. Now we are also in the process of locating, looking for, starting a KAS, Kechara Animal Shelter. So JP and Ruby has taken on the lead to look for land, to get sponsors, to learn up on information, to start our own Kechara Animal Shelter where we can have big land, we can keep a lot of dogs, we can keep a lot of animals that people just neglect, beat up, throw out, don't love, don't care. We're going to do something about that. We can't save every dog out there, but we're going to save all that we can and inspire many others to do the same. So very soon, our organization will be opening up a Kechara Animal Sanctuary. Do you know why? I don't like talking Dharma, listening to Dharma, smiling, and go home, and nothing happens decade after decade. I don't like that. I like Dharma that manifests into action, social action, action that helps others, action that benefits others, even animals. So very soon, I'm looking forward to an animal shelter, and I'm going to be doing a campaign. We're going to have pins that says Kechara Animal Shelter. And my little doggy, he's the best dog in the world. Anyways, all your other dogs are number two. And he's going to be the mascot. He's going to be the mascot. We're going to have pins. It's Kechara Animal Sanctuary with Mumu's little face on it. We're going to have mugs. We're going to have bookmarks. And all of you are going to use that cup. You're going to wear the pins. And you're going to use the bookmarks. Because if you don't, next time I have Dharma talk, I'll give you earplugs. So we're going to do that, and I'm going to do more social actions. Why? It's fun helping others. It's spiritual helping others. It gives us a purpose. Pick, help everybody, help animals, bring a smile to an old person's face, bring a smile to a young person's face, bring direction to a young person, save an animal that's in abuse, or sit home, eat, watch TV, look at your ugly husband, look at your fat wife, watch the stupid television, hate the world, and go to sleep. Doesn't that sound familiar? Very familiar. Not so violent and ugly, but you know. It's just very dreary when we don't do things for others. When we do things for ourselves, it's very dreary after a while. Honestly, when we die, I think the biggest regret and the thing that makes people bitter, that makes people older bitter, younger bitter, or anyone bitter and unhappy and very unsatisfied and unsettled, is a sense that your life was worth nothing. That your life amounted to nothing. That your life gave nothing. That your life wasn't worth anything to anyone else. That you affected nobody. So I think the thing that makes people the most unhappy, and the thing that makes the people most sad, and the thing that makes the people most angry, is when they know that they've lived their life just taking care of themselves, just being selfish, just eating and sleeping, and just having kids or having a few dogs, and then just having a car and house, and then everybody has flashed in their mind, is this all? Is that all I've done in my life? Everybody's an ant, a bee can make a house, a bird can make a nest and feed the young. What have I done? So the biggest thing that really bothers people is when they look back in their life and they say, what did I do for anyone? And your kids and husband and wives don't count. Your partners don't count. What did I do for anyone? How did I live my life? And you know, that's what really bothers people a lot. And we should instill our children and young people with a higher thought, the thought of benefiting society, the thought of helping others, the benefit of working and taking time out for others. You know why? Because when they get older, they'll be happier people, not so bitter. Less crime, less divorce, less separation, less fighting. Fighting, crime, divorce all comes from dissatisfaction with ourselves. It all comes from that. And if you keep going the same way, just get married, just have kids, just have a job, just pay your bills, just on weekends go to discos, have some fun, look for a boyfriend, look for a girlfriend, you know what? You're totally wasting your time. You're wasting your time from whatever angle you look at it. Totally wasting your time. Why are you wasting your time? What is that going to amount to? You say, oh, I'm young, I have time. That's right, but you know what? When you're young and you do nothing, you end up being old and doing nothing. Do you know why? You don't become old and suddenly become a saint. You have to have the causes. People respect old monks is because they created the causes to be monks their whole life, and we really prostrate to them. If you become a monk yesterday, just say, oh, you know, move over. So a sense of having not done much with our lives, or a sense of using our lives just for ourselves, really, really makes people bitter, makes people unhappy, and you know, at the end of their life, they really feel ugly. Let me give you a wonderful story. Theory, and Andrew gave me a book, it's called Anti-Cancer. It's written by some doctor, I forgot his name. And I flipped through it because they put little post-its, thank you, all over the book of places I can look and I can read and I should be highlighted to. And there was one section about this man who basically was a drunkard, useless, didn't achieve anything, very angersome, people can get along, didn't have any friends, and he got cancer. So he couldn't deal with it in himself, so he had a counselor. And the counselor came to talk to him. And he was very angry, and he just ranted and raved about everything that was wrong in the world, everything that had gone wrong. And pretty much, he started to keep talking and talking and talking. And this doctor says, you know, I can't change anything and I can't reverse anything, but I can listen to you and I can visit you once a week and I promise to do that. So he did that. He did that. And during their interviews and during their therapy, it came out that the guy was very angry with himself that he's dying and he had done nothing for no one. Nothing. He had done nothing for nobody at all. And his whole life has just been wasted. And he's very worried about that. So he was angry at himself. So he showed his anger to everybody else. So the therapist said, you know, what would you like to do? Let's do something. And this guy had an idea. The church that's nearby needed an air conditioning service, air conditioning system. So the therapist said, why don't you go and do that? You know, the guy says he's got the knowledge. He says, why don't you go and do that? So the guy went to the pastor and talked. And the pastor was very open and very happy and very giving and said, sure, come and do it. We really need it. And take your time, you know, no rush. So every day, this fellow would go and fix up the air conditioning. And he was very touched by the people at the church because every day they bring him sandwiches and coffee. And they just showed him love and acceptance. And they didn't judge him. And they didn't look at what he did or didn't do. And that taking care of the air conditioning for the church healed him. So finally, many months later, I think 7, 8, 9 months later, time, don't quote me, get the book and read it, he was dying. I mean, it was the last, and they were pulling out the intravenous. And the therapist came to see him. And so he was trying to say something in bed, but the therapist couldn't hear him, and he went closer. And this guy said, the dying guy said to the therapist, thank you for saving my life. And the therapist was like, you're dying. He said, no, thank you for saving my life. And you know what's so beautiful? Is it changed the therapist. The therapist got therapy. That saving someone's life wasn't about living how long. It was about how you lived. It's about what you did when you were alive. It isn't how long you live and just eat and exploit the planet. But it's how you lived. And this guy found peace towards the end of his life. Because someone listened to him. Someone gave him hope. Someone said, you can be something good. So this guy went and set up an air conditioning system for the church. The church was very, very appreciative, and it moved him. And you know, when he was doing the air conditioning system for the church, no more anger. He didn't lash out at people. He didn't fight. He became the real person he was inside that Buddha talks about, clear light. Clear mind, kind heart. And his anger left. His hatred left. His self-hatred left. And this is not religion. He didn't go to the church to pray. The therapist didn't teach religion. He taught him something what every single human being needs. If you live for yourself, you will be unhappy. You will be angry. You will make people around you angry. You will always make yourself unhappy. Let me tell you why. Because you're angry with yourself. Because you hate yourself. Because you hate what you've become, what you've been doing, what you're becoming, and where you're going. You hate yourself. And you know what? It doesn't go away by keeping quiet. It doesn't go away by hiding. It does not go away if you just avoid it. It gets bigger. And this hatred for ourselves is the cause of our anger. And this hatred for ourselves comes from doing nothing for others. Just me. People might justify and say, hey, I'm taking care of my kid, I'm taking care of my wife, I'm taking care of my husband. That's not a big deal. Everybody's doing that. Doesn't mean you're a saint. It doesn't mean you've done something extraordinary. It just means you had bubbly, had an accident, you gotta take care of it now. That's it. For those of you who don't know what bubbly is, let me explain. It's sex. There I go. There you go. I said the dirty S word. So let me not say it anymore. Let me just say bubali. What language is that? Temurimchi's language. You won't find that in the Tibetan Webster's Dictionary. All right. So just because you had bubali, you had a kid, and you had an accident, you look at the kid and say, uh-oh. Doesn't mean you're a saint. Doesn't mean you're doing a good job. Doesn't mean you did something wonderful. It just means you're another dog with a puppy litter. No big deal. So We hate ourselves, and we express it by anger toward others. You know why? Because we know we've done nothing with our lives. We know we've failed. And you know what? Making a lot of money gives you temporary happiness, but it's not really it. That's why when people join a Dharma Center, or a church, or a synagogue, or a mosque, or a Sikh temple, it doesn't matter. And they're doing a great job, and they help dogs, they help the animal shelter, they help the sick, they help the elderly, and they give and they donate. They feel really good. Do you know why? Because when they do something good for others, their anger calms down. Do you know why their anger calms down? Their anger calms down is because they start to feel self-worth. People look for self-worth in a relationship. Hey, if I get the most beautiful girl in the world, and she's gorgeous, she's sexy, and she's wonderful, and I walk around with her, I made it. I got it. I'm it. You can be a gorgeous, beautiful, fabulous, tall, dark, and handsome stud like I was. And then after a while, you end up like this. And this isn't it. It doesn't stop here, okay? It doesn't stop here. If you look around you, it gets worse. And if you're a beautiful princess, you know, you got great hair, you got great lashes, and it's not even false, and you're walking around blinking at everybody. In the cage, not all guys got fruit, so you keep your blinks to yourself. Anyways, and you know, you're gorgeous and you're blinking here and there, but you know what? It's gonna fade. And then what? And nothing happens. So don't rely on everything external alone. Maintain. I mean, don't walk outside, you know, smelling like garbage and never combing your hair. Maintain yourself. I mean, look clean. But don't think that that's it. So my point is what is, look, if you always focus on yourself, if you always do things for yourself, and you always work for yourself, you're going to end up bitter. You're going to be bitter. You're going to hate yourself. You're going to have a lot of regrets. You're going to have difficulty sleeping. You're going to be afraid of death. Do you know why? Because deep down inside, you know what you haven't done or you have done. And that's what makes people really angry. That's why when people join a religious organization or NGO and they do things for others, they really feel happy. I mean, they get pissed off, they get angry, you know, they want to leave, they want to quit and all that stuff. That's normal. That's in the beginning. But they feel really happy when they join something. Do you know why? When they join a church, when they join a temple, you know, when they join KH or whatever, and they do work, like we have 12 departments, they feel happy. And sometimes they can't explain why. Let me tell you why. Because it helps so many people. People say, hey, I don't need organized religion, and I don't need organized, you know, whatever. I can do it on my own. Sure you can. And if you can do it on your own, do it on your own. But organized religion is good because exactly as said, it's organized. You know, we have a license. We have departments, we have, you know, people in charge, we have experience. It's organized. You can just pop in and start doing something. If you join Dharma work, there are difficulties, just like any other thing you do in life. But you know what's the difference? The difference is when there's difficulties in social or Dharma work, it's not for yourself. You're absorbing difficulties for others. You're accepting problems for others. You're doing it for others. So when you accept problems for others, you don't do like Temaramji does, complain. You don't get angry. You calm yourself down. Why? Because it's not for yourself anymore. It's for others. See, I'm very different than other Tibetan lamas because of the blessings of my various teachers. I'm not going to sit around and just preach and talk. I'm going to do a lot of social work and make my students do social work. Do you know why? Because I want them to be happy. And I want them to make a lot of people happy. And I'm going to make all these social divisions, all these social departments grow and really become big. And they will become big. Why? Doing good things never gets old, never gets tired. It's better than sitting at home. And when people come to Dharma centers, they sometimes have a problem donating their services because they've been paid for their services. But you know what? If you've been paid for your services and your bills are paid, give something back. Don't always think, how can I make money off the Dharma? How can I get something for the Dharma? Do you know why? We're all together because of one reason, charity, generosity. Generosity and charity. And therefore, give back. Give back. Nobody in the center gets rich. Nobody in the center has a big pot of gold at the end of their life. Even if they do, trust me, you can't take it with you.